HarperCollins presents Yes, Mama, by Helen Forrester, read by Joan Walker. The prejudices remain within society, within families, and above all, within the law. Virginia Ironside and Jane Horwood. How can I explain to my daughter that she isn't a little bastard? Woman Magazine, November 1986. Chapter 1. Part 1. Much to her mother's annoyance, Alicia Beatrix Mary decided to be born on May the 12th, 1886, during a visit to Liverpool of the dear Queen to open the International Exhibition of Navigation, Travelling, Commerce and Manufactures. On the day of Alicia's slightly premature birth, the Queen was to drive down the boulevard from Prince's Park on her way to St. George's Hall. As a result of Alicia's arrival, her mother, Elizabeth Woodman, missed the chance of seeing her sovereign. Mrs. Dorothea Evans, the wife of a Liverpool shipping magnate, had graciously invited Elizabeth to view the procession from her bedroom window, which faced the boulevard. "If you wore a veil and a large shawl and came in a carriage, no one would realise your condition. You could watch in absolute privacy from behind the lace curtains." Elizabeth had been thrilled by an invitation from such an eminent lady, who was herself to be presented to the Queen. She had looked forward to extending her acquaintance with Mrs. Evans. She guessed that it would please Humphrey exceedingly if she were to make a friend of the wife of such an influential man, and Elizabeth knew that in the months to come she would have to do a lot to mollify an outraged Humphrey Woodman, her husband of 22 years. Between the painful contractions as her 40-year-old body strove to deliver the child, she was consumed by anxiety, an anxiety which had commenced when first she knew she was pregnant. Had Humphrey realised that the child was not his? It was always so difficult to be sure of anything with her husband, she worried fretfully. He was so wrapped up in his multifarious business activities and the woman in the town whom he kept that he rarely talked to his wife, never mind slept with her. But of late, his usual bouts of temper had been so violent that she felt he must suspect her. And yet he had never commented on her condition. Could it be, she wondered, that her huge skirts and swathing shawls had been a sufficient disguise, and that he had never realised her condition? She had found it difficult to believe, but she had still clung to the idea, hoping that she might miscarry. Now she prayed that, faced with a living child, he might use his common sense and accept it. Peevishly, between gasps of pain, she commanded that the heavy green velvet curtains be drawn over the ones of Nottingham lace. "The sunlight's hurting my eyes," she complained to the midwife. Mrs. MacDonald, a stout, middle-aged woman in an impeccably white apron and long black skirt, sighed at her difficult patient and hauled the heavy draperies over the offending light. The huge brass curtain rings rattled in protest. "I'll need some more candles, ma'am." "Well, ring for them," panted Elizabeth. "Yes, ma'am." Mrs. MacDonald went to the side of the fireplace and tugged at the green velvet bell rope. Though the bell rang in the basement kitchen, the distant tinkle was answered immediately by Fanny, a skinny 12-year-old skivvy who had been posted outside the door by Rosie, the housemaid, with orders to bring any messages from her mistress to her while she snatched a hasty lunch in the basement kitchen. The child opened the bedroom door an inch and hissed, "Yes, missus." "Fanny, tell Rosie to bring us some more candles immediately and make up the fire," ordered Mrs. MacDonald. "And bring another kettle of water and a trivet to rest it on." "I'll do fire afore I go downstairs." A hand with dirt-engrimed nails gestured through the narrow opening of the door towards the brimming coal scuttle by the fireplace. Mrs. MacDonald was shocked. "Good gracious me, no. A young one like you can't come in here, send Rosie up to do it." "Ah, go on with yous. I helped me auntie last time." "Don't be so forward, young woman," snapped the midwife. "Get down them stairs and tell Rosie." "She ain't gonna like doing my job. Fires is my job." Fanny shrugged, her thin lips curved in a grimace as she turned to do the errand. She was stopped by the sound of a querulous voice from the bed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?